You think so? You need to rest. Are we on again? Okay, I'm just going to leave it over here this way. I won't be moving around too much today anyway. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have already come. That means that it's over. There's nothing else for, thank you. There's nothing else for you to say. So that's my word for you today. Let the Spirit rest. Let him rest on you. Let him rise within you. The Spirit of glory is not the, oh my God, you're amazing. I love you. You're omnipotent. You're omnipresent. You're omniscient. That's not the Spirit of glory. The Spirit of glory is that which speaks to your heart and tells you, gives you instruction, or gives you a word, or encourages you, or convicts you, or tells you to stop sinning, or tells you to go say hello to so-and-so. That's what the Spirit of glory is. God's glory is his goodness, and we here at RCF believe very strongly in God's goodness, his benevolence, his moral attributes, his character, who God is, and what can you expect from him. I had an experience this week. I had to go for my yearly mammography, which is not fun for you ladies who have gone through it. Also, I went to a different place because this place now that opened up very close to where I live, so I didn't have to drive all the way to North Shore, which was also nice. But it's different. And the person is not as good as the other one in North Shore. So anyway, long and short of it is when I was done, she puts me in this little room all by myself. Usually you're in the room and there's a TV or there's other people, and you know, you can kind of be distracted by the fact that the doctor is looking at your mammography and going to tell you whether or not the cysts that you have are cancerous or non-cancerous. Now, you have to remember, I did not have cancer, right? I had stage zero pre-cancer, which was what God gave me before I started this whole journey. But when I was sitting in that room all by myself, all this fear started emanating onto me and from me, and I kept thinking about what I went through. And you know, I just had to tell the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, I do not want to go through that again. I don't even want to have another mammogram. I don't want to go through the lumpectomy. I don't want to have radiation therapy. I do not want to drive back and forth for three. You know, I just went through all the things, and I, in my inner man, I'm talking to him, which I do talk to him all the time. But I'm telling him how I feel. And as I was sitting there being honest with him and confessing and admitting to the what I was feeling and what was going on, I didn't see hard in the hair of the woman. She walks by again 10 minutes later. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there in this fear. And I'm looking around, and she walks by and she looks at me, and then I said, oh my God, oh no. I said, you know what? I'm not doing this. That's what I said. I'm not doing this. That's what I said. I'm not doing this. So I just sat there, and he had given me a word in the morning. He said, hold your peace and remain at rest. That's what he told me. So I kind of felt like I forgot. So I started to focus on that, hold my peace and remain at rest. And I was sitting there holding my, I kept saying it over and over and over again, and just, the Holy Spirit just came up from inside of me into the room and went like this. And he said to me, didn't I tell you that there was no cancer in your body? I said, yes. And then I look up and there's a sign that says, changing room. Because I'm going through a change. My husband is going through a change. If you are in this church, you are going through a change, because God is doing amazing things in this body to build us together so that we can be greater witnesses to the world out there. So I looked up and he said to me, I'm changing you. I said, okay. A minute later, the woman comes in. She says, oh, you're fine. You can go. Thank you. And I ran out of that room and took my clothes on and ran out of the place. You know, I think to myself, and the bottom line for me was, and this is what he's been telling me over the last 6 to 8 months, no matter what, you trust me, no matter what. So I had to be in that place of no matter what. If that woman came in and told me that I had cancer in my breast, that I had to be no matter what and trust God. Whatever the report is, it's no matter what, because it's always a good report. But see, the goodness of God is that he does not put disease on us. That's not his intention. It happens because we're in this world, because our things are going on. Our flesh is not, you know, completely redeemed yet until we are up in glory. Then we're a new creation. But we can speak and declare that we're new creations. In Ephesians, it says, put off the old man. Let the Holy Spirit renew your mind, change your thoughts and your attitudes, and be a new creation. So that's where I live. I live to be a new creation. But that was just something I wanted to share, and I was going to share it later, but I guess God had other ideas. So we can expect God to come and answer us. That's what I'm trying to tell you. If you're not hearing God, you know, Solomon asked God for wisdom. He didn't ask him for all of these other things. He asked him for wisdom. And actually, wisdom is the hearing ear. So what Solomon got from God, besides blessing him with all the other things that he had, because he asked for the right thing, which was wisdom, God gave him that wisdom. And he's given us a hearing ear. I'm here to tell you that God will speak to you. He will speak to you. What I went through was all of that other stuff had to be gone before I could hear him. And that's the battle, is that we have to battle our own thoughts. We have to battle the distractions. It's a good thing I was in that room by myself, because I couldn't have been distracted by the TV or other people or whatever. And God delivered me from that fear right then and there. He came in and rested his glory on me. So, how do we do this? How do we rest in him? I gave you an example of something that I just went through. But I am in a state of pain because my back is hurting me. This morning, the Holy Spirit said to me, I healed your cataracts, so I can heal the arthritis. Because every report and every person that I'm telling me, that is talking to me, is, well, you have old bones and you have arthritis, you have spinal stenosis, and, you know, that's just, you had to build all your muscles, you know. Okay, well, let's do all those things, but I don't want to have arthritis. I want to be able to sit on the floor and play with my grandchildren, which I did, and it was not a good idea because I hurt my back. So I have to learn how to sit on a pillow and, you know, do all these things. But I still am wrestling with the fact that I have arthritis. Now, does it mean that God doesn't love me because I have arthritis? No, it does not mean that. It means this is the next test, and I'm going to pass it with flying colors because I am feeling better. I have a wonderful husband who in the middle of the night, roll over and I'm going to rub your back. And I'm like, yay, amazing. I go to the PT guy, he pulls my leg up over here and releases all the pain and the stress that's in my body. So I'm learning how to move and operate in a different manner. That's really what happens, is that we learn something new about who God is and how he moves. That's what we need. We rest in him because we believe that he is who he says he is. Now, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the way that you build up your faith is by being in the word, right? Listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm in a different place right now. I can hear God talk to me like that. I used to have to really work at it to get his voice so I could hear his voice, because there was so many things going on around me and inside of me. And, you know, now, I mean, he talks to me very clearly all the time. So that's a place that my experience and my expectation and my seeking after him with all of my heart above and beyond anything else in my life has brought me to this place. And I have to stay here because I'm not going anywhere else. I want more. I want more of him. So the glory of God is the visible splendor. It's visible. It's tangible. It's the visible splendor of God that can be perceived through our five senses. How many of you felt the peace of God this morning during the worship? I mean, felt him come. He came. Now, if you didn't feel it, then you got to get rid of whatever it was that stopped you from feeling his presence. So that's your job. Your job is to get rid of that which is in the way that stops you from operating in the spirit realm with the Lord. In our five senses on an earthly plane. Now, we love this verse, and I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified, 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the Message. Whenever, though, we or they turn to God and face God as Moses did, Moses asked to see the Lord's glory, didn't he? And what did God do? He put him in the cleft of a rock and he went by him. But Moses felt his glory. He felt his glory, and Moses was a man that was face to face with God. So you know what that tells me? I can be face to face with God too. Every time you turn and worship him, you are face to face with God. Every time he hears you and answers you, you are face to face with God. It is not this, it's not where you're on your face and you know, that's a whole other ball game. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about every day that you walk, that you hear and move and experience the presence of the Lord in reality. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil. Now, what is the veil? What's the veil that God would remove? He removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. We suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. The Old Testament law was there so you could understand what sin was and how serious it was to not sin against God. Also, to point to the fact that you need a Messiah. That's what the whole point was of the Old Testament. We need a Messiah, and pointing to Jesus as the Messiah. That was the whole point. But see, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the law was until John came and Jesus came, and now the kingdom of heaven is here. It's a different kingdom. It's a different set of rules. It's a different set of circumstances. It's the love and the compassion and the presence of the living God in us, Christ within, the hope of glory. It's no longer he comes on us from the outside, but he rises up from within us because we are believers. Yes, we are believers. Yes. The veil is unbelief. That veil was rent. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil was also that thing that separated us, separated them from the presence of the Lord. Once that veil was ripped, and it was ripped from the top to the bottom, everybody, all of us priests, we are priests, right, can go into the presence of the Lord. That's what it's all about. We can all go into the presence of the Lord and talk to him. We don't have to go to a priest. We are priests. When God, we're free. We're free of the constricting legislation. I remember when God opened up Romans 6, 7, and 8. I mean, it's three of my favorite chapters in the Bible, because when I get stuck in a sin, I can read that. And I can come out of the sin that I'm in. And I can get delivered and set free, because it speaks and shares very clearly how to get out of any kind of sinful habit. It's right there. I can be free from sin, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. We're free. Nothing is between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of His face, and so we are transfigured, changed, like I was in that room. In the changing room. Much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. That's what the Lord's designed for us, is that we would become like Him. Now, are we going to be Jesus? No, we're going to be little Jesuses. We're going to be little Christs. We're not going to be Jesus, but we can look like Him, can't we? And that's what happens. All these things that we're going through, all these trials and experiences, are for us to look like God, to look like Jesus, not just for ourselves in that intimate place, but so other people can see that there is a real living God. We want this Holy Spirit to be resting on us, so we're not just popping in for a quick answer, right? For a quick moment. We have to spend our lives. We have to spend our lives waiting in His presence. We have to spend our lives. I can remember when God first started to speak to me, I was about this. We had this really small house and no children. It was just Pastor Roy and I, and he was not yet walking with the Lord. And I had this bathroom, and I used to turn on the fan for 15 minutes and sit on the floor and wait. And I was gritting my teeth. It was like horrible for me. It was horrible for me to have to sit there for 15 minutes. And then after I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I would do the same thing. I would sit on the floor and pray in tongues for 15 minutes. And it was horrible for me. It was very, very difficult, because my whole body wanted to be somewhere else. How many of you have experienced that when you're trying to sit in the presence of the Lord? I don't have that problem anymore. I have the opposite problem. I have to get up on the couch. Come on, Marie. Go clean your house. Do your laundry. Come on. I'm sorry, I have to do laundry. Anyway. So. We can experience the tangible, strengthening presence. It's a strengthening presence. In every given moment, a strengthening presence. When you turn to Him, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When you turn to Him, you get renewed. Now, if I had continued to sit in that changing room and not remembered the word the Lord had given me in the morning, or if I had not sat with the Lord in the morning and gotten a word, I would have just sat there and continued to be in fear. And I'm sure the woman would have come and gave me the same message. But I would have been, who knows? I would have been walking, maybe I would have had an accident. I was so like messed up when I left. But see, the presence of the King, the resting power and glory of God, brought me to a place of peace and rest, to the point where it didn't matter. I was very happy what she said, I mean, believe me, but I would have dealt with whatever. I have to live in that place. Trusting Him, no matter what, because He's God, He's sovereign. He's sovereign over the three areas. He's sovereign in nature. He's sovereign over the grace area, which we live in because we're born again, spirit-filled believers. He's sovereign in that area, which means that all things work together for good for us because we love God and we are called according to His purpose, so that we could be conformed to the image of God. That grace is available for us. So that means even when we totally mess up and make horrible mistakes and don't get delivered and don't do the things that we're supposed to do in God, His grace is sufficient. His grace is there. All you got to do is turn. His grace is right there, and He will turn it around and bless you because you're a believer. People who are not believers, they don't walk in that. Are you listening to me? They don't have that. They're not believers. God is not going to work all things together for them. You understand? That's why people need to come to Jesus. We can pray for them. We're going to pray that they come to Jesus so that they can have the same blessing and privilege as God's children. And we need to treat them in the same manner that they are loved by God, because God loves every person on the earth, no matter whether they're believers or not. He loves them, and His love is poured out always. And then the last area is the area of glory, which is what I'm talking about. Were you walking in the Spirit of glory? That the Spirit of glory is resting on you, and you're able to be aware that He's right here. He's right here. Is He right here for you? He's right here. He's right here. Talking to me right now. Good job, Marie. I need to hear that. It's a strengthening presence. There are many times during the day when I feel completely wiped out, especially now because I have this pain that I got to deal with. And I'm tired because my body is tense and I'm more stressed. I have to do more stretching. And, you know, it's something that I'm dealing with right now. But God has given me, as soon as I turn to Him, He gives me supernatural strength right then and there. He just comes in and strengthens my body. He moves and maneuvers my body to the place where I'm supposed to be so that I'm not in pain. It's getting better. Isaiah 60:1-3. Rise and shine, for your light has come. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Rise up from the depression and the prostration that circumstances has put you in. The glory of the Lord has risen and rested upon you. The Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. And the Gentiles will come to your light. The Gentiles are those outside of the house of faith. Who are the house of faith? Raise your hand. You are the house of faith. It doesn't mean God loves them more or less. It just means you are in the house of faith, so you get the privileges of sonship. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Genuine encounters with the Lord come as we continue to place ourselves in a position to experience the Spirit in real life, in real time, overwhelmed by His glory and His presence. Wholeheartedly seeking Him, praying in the Spirit, being with Him in the secret place, and practicing His presence. There's a book by Brother Lawrence called Practicing the Presence of God. It's awesome. He had an experience with the Lord that changed his life, and he just had such an understanding and a belief that no matter where he was and whatever he was doing, God was right there, even if he's in the midst of extreme failure. He knew that God knew that he was going to fail and that God was there to give him whatever he needed to come out on the other side of it. Can you hear that? When this happens, when we are in that place of having that encounter and rising and shining, the Holy Spirit obliterates depression and mental prostration. He demolishes the infirmities of enervation, which is that weariness and that fatigue and that exhaustion. See, the Holy Spirit has all the energy at His disposal that's in heaven. So how can you be tired and exhausted? And you understand what I'm saying to you? His power, His glory resting will give you whatever you need in that moment to overcome. That's who He is. He wants us as His sons to manifest His glory. He wants us to trust and rest. Here, Acts 4:33, He gives us great grace and great power to do that, to walk in that. And with great ability and power, the disciples, the apostles, the members of RCF, right? We're right in there. We're disciples of God, aren't we? The same power that the apostles had is ours. The same great ability and power the apostles were continually testifying to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace, God's remarkable loving kindness and favor and goodwill, that's His grace, rested richly on them all. Exodus 33:14, the Lord says, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. There is a rest of faith which continually builds. You know, I've been saved for a number of years now, and I do have a very big well that's been filled and keeps getting filled, but I still have to get up and get filled every morning, don't I? I still, because my flesh is alive every morning. Doesn't want to get out of bed, doesn't want to brush my teeth. Oh, God, I have to take a shower. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's like, I don't want to take a shower. I just want to sit on the couch and be dirty. Nobody? But, that's silly. But you know what I'm talking about. Oh, I got to get up. I got to go to work. I got to go grocery shopping. I got to get up and make breakfast. And then I got to have dinner ready. And, you know, all the things that just have to do with each one of our individual lives. I had 4 children. I know what it's like. I remember when I'm with Sarah, I remember. I do. You don't forget that. Once you've had 1 kid, or then 2 kids, then 3, then 4 kids, and it's like, oh, you remember what it's like. But I had the same spirit of glory resting on me when I was a mom. I remember one time my husband came home and there was toys everywhere. We only had the one room. Toys everywhere, and the kids were running in just having a great time, laughing, you know. And I'm just standing there, and he said to me, where do you go? The spirit of glory. I'm resting, and I'm listening to him. What do you want me to say to my grandchildren? Oh, Olivia's been a little sassy. What do you want me to say? And you know what happened? That did happen. And the Holy Spirit explained to me that she was being protective of her brother. She really wasn't being sassy to me. She was protecting her brother. So even in being a mother or whatever job you're doing at the time, God can give you his wisdom. He can give you his wisdom. We need to cultivate the relationship with the Holy Spirit. This rest of faith is ours as the people of God, and it means finding rest in the midst of activities. So let's say you get up late and you're running around, you didn't have any time to sit with the Word or sit with the Lord, and then before you know it, you're at work, and oh my God. Well, go in the bathroom, 5 minutes, close the stall, and if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to get it. Just get it. Ask the Lord for it. It's free. He'll give it to you. That language builds up your spirit, man. You need it. It builds up the spirit, man, and then before you know it, you're up there. You're risen. Hebrews 4:9 says there is a rest for the people of God. In the rest of God, there's an absence of overbearing stress and conflict. Really? Turmoil. Really? Tensions and hassles. Really? Really? Yes! It is cultivated. It's something that we need to cultivate. It's just like I planted over 300 bulbs all over my yard because I got them really cheap. And my husband loves when the flowers come up in the spring. So I got tulips and hyacinths and crocuses. Some of them I didn't even plant yet, but I got them in bulk because they were really cheap. So they're plant. I was like out there planting. I was like, whoa. Well, you know what? Some of those flowers are not going to come up. But I planted them. And that's what you do with the Word. You plant the Word. See, I planted that Word before I went for that test. I said, Lord, I need help. And he said, stay in a place of rest. Don't be afraid. Was I afraid? Yes. But I remembered what he said. That's the overcoming. It doesn't mean that you're not going to ever be afraid or you're not going to have to deal with things. It's like, you got to listen to what he says. Here's the definition of rest. The supernatural ability to function at full capacity and strength, all the while sustained by an inworking, an inward strengthening, fed by the Spirit of glory. What do you think about that? Isn't that awesome? That's the rest. So he builds up an experience and he builds an endurance so we are able to withstand the attacks of the enemy. And we can be victorious in every situation. Was I victorious in that changing room? Was I? Yes, I was. I didn't start out very victorious, but I did. I rose up. He rose up in me. He rose up. And sometimes when we're in the midst of this turmoil and tension and stress and overbearing, we're in the battle. That's where the battle is. But then we wait and let him come. And when he comes, see, this is what he does all the time. It's just, calm down, Marie. It's okay. You'll get the rest of the bulbs planted. Okay. Because I have to rest. I have to do more. So very funny. I have to do more resting. I said, Lord, I feel like I'm resting all the time. No. You have to do more resting. Okay. There's a scripture in Job. Oh, our wonderful Job. Job 29:20. It says, my glory is fresh within me. The glory of God is fresh within you. Job 29:20. As the glory of God maintains its freshness, my glory is fresh within me, and my bow is renewed in my hand. At that time, and also in the English, they always used bow and arrows. But in Israel, bow and arrow was how they killed game. They didn't have guns and all that. And the bow was very difficult. Even in Psalm 18, it talks about, I can bend a bow of bronze. So that means that's a supernatural strength and power. But in this scripture, Job is talking about having to bend that bow. Sometimes it was metal and sometimes it was wood. It was very difficult to string that bow. But what he's saying is, while I was doing this, because the glory of God was there, my strength was increased. I was able to bend that bow, and the glory renewed and refreshed me. That's where we want to be, right? Don't we? Don't we want to be in that place? My glory is fresh within me, and my bow is renewed in my hand. As the glory of God maintains its freshness, as the Helper provides a rest in us in the midst of our labor, we cannot rely on our own limited reservoirs. See, that's the key. Even I'm a very strong person in the natural, which is why I had to get, smashed often by the Lord when I first got saved, because I always want to do it myself. And he's telling me no. And I had to keep learning that. And I still have to learn that. But I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, that even if I'm protesting in my strength, I'm giving way for him. I'm releasing my own strength and receiving his strength. We come into the reality that God is indeed with us to strengthen us, no matter what. We can tap in at any time to the hidden well of living water, well of living water within us. That is part of the glorious river that flows from underneath the throne of God. If you have a vision or an image, which you should already by now being in this church, reading the book of Revelation, at least Revelation 4, or that talks about what the throne looks like, what it looks like with God, you should have that memorized. You should be able to step into that throne room and talk to Jesus sitting on the throne. You should be able to step into that throne room and join in worship. Something that you need to understand, that the throne, out from underneath the throne of God, there is a river. There's a river, and the psalmist says that streams make glad the city of God. Who's the city of God? We are. There's a river. There is a river that flows out from underneath the throne. It's the same river that's in you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, if you don't feel those rivers of living water, what do you do? What do you do? Ask, yes. What else can you do? We do it every morning, every Sunday when we get here. We start praising. You need to start praising. I will never forget this woman. We were at this meeting, and there was a young woman that came in, and the pastor, her husband had just left her with her baby, and she was devastated, and she's crying and sobbing, and overwhelmed with grief and, you know, in dire straits, no money, nothing. There she is with this newborn. And the pastor said to her, you have to praise. You need to praise. And I'll tell you the truth, at that time I wanted to smack her. I wanted to just hug this woman. And she said, no, and she actually pushed me away. She said, no, Pastor Marie, she has to praise. Because if you can't produce that praise in you when you're in that hard place, I'm not going to be there to do it for you. Pastor Roy is not going to be there. You have to practice. You have to be able to bring that river up. John 7:37 reads, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, are you thirsty for more of God? I am. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. You know, sometimes I have to go up in my room and just sit on the bed with the Lord, or go sit on the couch and be with the Lord. My husband he's in his office. I mean, this happens all day long when we're home together. We're not hanging out together. We may eat a meal, but we're just off in the glory realm with the Lord, because that's our job. He gave me a word this morning, which after so many years is so funny. I asked him, I said, what about York Hall and Kings Park? How many of you were there when we were praying and marching around York Hall and putting stakes in the ground? Does anybody remember that? We believed that God was going to give us that property. Now, nobody has that property now. Property is property of the state, and nobody's doing anything. And I said, Lord, this is what he said to me this morning. How many years ago? He said, your call is in Kings Park. The Kings Park. Your call is in the Kings Park. You see, there are people who have been called to go out and be missionaries. There are people that have been called, like this gentleman that's coming, to take care of these women. There are people that have been called to go overseas. There are people that have been called to be policemen, like Jason. God has called all of us in different places, and in that place, we are supposed to represent God. This church, Pastor Roy and I, our call is in the Kings Park. It's through intercession and prayer and building a temple for the living God, so that those people that we meet. Now listen, you need to invite the people that you are associated with to church. You need to invite them to come. Don't listen, oh, it's at 1 o'clock. Oh, it's 2 hours. Forget it. You know what? Jesus is awesome. And he's here every week. So the people that you're in touch with, you need to be praying for them and praying that they're going to come into the glory realm with you as you share with them the reality of the living God that's in you. My neighbor next door, there's one lady next door who I shared a couple of times with her, and she acted like this. She started to move in everything that I was doing. She lost 30 pounds. She started exercising. She had a dog. She started training the dog. And I spent one day with her, and then the Holy Spirit said, she's the one. So I started praying for her, and then he said, invite her to your house. I said, okay. So at one point, I'm outside, and there she is. I said, come on. I said, if you haven't seen the house since it's redone, I said, why don't you come out? Come and see. So we walked around the whole outside of the, and she was like, because she saw it when it was a complete wreck, and we were throwing ropes to go up and down the stairs. Oh, my God, look. And I'm like, oh, my God, look what God did. You know, this is where I'm at. And I said, why don't you come in the house? Did you ever see the house? No. I bring her in the house. Now, if you remember, when you walk in my front door, right here, there's a picture of Jesus. And he's like, whoa! I mean, you know, he's a man. He's got muscles, and, you know, this was the interpretation. She walked in, and she's gasping. Where did you get that picture? I said, that's Jesus. I know. Where did you get it? So I tell her the story. She comes upstairs, and I have pictures that Jesse painted. And she is, I'm telling you, she gasped through the whole house. She just kept gasping. Things that I live with, Pastor Roy, we live with every day. We don't even see the pictures half the time because they've been there so long. I also have on this side, I have the golden glory coming from the throne, you know, into our hands. which I don't even see anymore. But I remember, sometimes I'll look and say, oh, I remember when I got that. So this woman's life has completely changed. She's unfortunately divorced. Her husband really did her in. But this year, because of, and I'm taking credit because I prayed for her, she's receiving an inheritance from her ex-husband. And she's going to be fine. She's not even going to have to work. So God is awesome. And that was just me praying and living next door to her. So think about your neighbors, you know. What's overflowing? He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Ephesians 1:3 reads, all praise to God. I'm in the book of Ephesians. Just finished it. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. The 19th verse. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by me. No. By Jesus Christ. The glory comes from Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. If you don't talk about Jesus, well, maybe it won't get through to that person because the name of Jesus is what has the power. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Ephesians 4:3. So here, I said this. I started with this. I'm going to end with this. This is what we are to do. Ephesians 4:22-24. Throw off your own sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit, now this was my verse for 3 days. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let him change your mind about some things. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, imitate God. That was my verse for one day. Imitate God. How do I imitate God? Well, what is the goodness of God? Loving, kind, thoughtful, caring, giving, patient, yeah, all the fruits of the Spirit. Do imitate God in everything you do. Scripture says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. I mean, wash the dishes as unto the Lord. Change the sheets on your bed like as unto the Lord. I hate changing the sheets. My husband is wonderful. Marie, let's go change the sheets. Yeah. So he helps me. They probably wouldn't get changed if it was just me because I don't like it. I don't like to do it. But, you know, I have to be very honest with you. When I was a young girl, my mother had these. Now, this is the fruit of rebellion. My mother had us do jobs on Saturday morning when I wanted to just sleep because I was tired from school and getting up. I just wanted to sleep in a couple of hours, and she would, get up, Marie, come and do your jobs. You got to change the sheets. So you know what I used to do? I used to get the new sheets. It took me longer to do this than it would have been if I just changed the sheets. I'm being honest here. I used to stomp on the sheets, get them all dirty, and throw them down the chute because I didn't want to change the sheets. So that's what happens with me when I don't have to change the sheets. I have to go, I bind the spirit of rebellion. I will change the sheets and enjoy it. Whatever I do is hard. Now that's just, I'm sure you have your own stories, but that was one of mine. So God is good. And I hated dust mopping too. I have a dust mop. I still have one. And it works better than anything else. Okay. So be kind-hearted. Imitate God. The light in you, see, the light in you produces only what is good and right and true. Ephesians 5:9. The light in you, not the darkness in you. The light in you only produces what is good and right. So further instructions. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will stand firm. Ephesians 6, 15 to 17 tells you what's in your armor. I'm not going to go through it. You should be putting it on every morning. And then pray, because it's all about praying. And then stand. It's all about standing. The light of the gospel, the living light, the Holy Spirit of light, let him fill you and rest on you. It is the Spirit of glory. Philippians 1, 27. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's Jude 20 and 21. Think about eternal life. You got to think about what happened yesterday is gone. We have an eternal life before us, and we're going to take those steps to move in agreement with what the Holy Spirit says to us about what eternal life is. We have an eternal life. What do you want to be the mark of your eternal life? And think about it. When you die, you're just going to step into the glory realm. Isn't that amazing? I'm not really afraid to die. I am looking forward to it. People say, oh, I wouldn't want to be 18 again. No, not for all the tea in China. Bless you, brother. I'm very happy where I am and looking forward to shedding this body and having a new body and being in heaven. So that's my eternal life. But every moment is my eternal life. See, if you focus on that, that this next moment is your eternal life, I think your behavior might change a little bit, right? Think about it. This is going to be eternal. I better change my attitude. Okay. We have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 6, 4. So there is a rest for the people of God. There is a rest for us. It's the Spirit of glory. So you let him rest on you. We're going to take just 1 minute. We're done. I'm done. It's going to take a minute. I want you to close your eyes. I know what some of you are dealing with right now, and I know that some of it is very, very hard. But I also know that the Spirit of glory can change your attitude and change your thoughts and bring you into a new understanding of what he's doing in the midst of this situation that might be so difficult. His power is greater than your power. So we're going to just sit for a minute and let the Spirit of glory come, because he's here and he wants to rest on us. We thank you, Lord. I pray for every soul here and everyone that wanted to be here and couldn't make it. I pray for your delivering power right now. I pray for the Spirit of glory to rest upon each one of us, to rise up within us and to rest, that your peace that passes our understanding would come and rest. We give you the circumstances of our lives that we don't understand. We give you the griefs and the sorrows. You have taken our sorrows and our griefs. You were whipped and beaten so that we would not be sick. You rose from the dead so that we would not have to suffer death. So we take the chastisement of our peace was upon your shoulders. So therefore we can be in peace because of what you took on your shoulders. So I pray for your saints here at RCF that we would remain at rest, that we would be able to step back into the glory realm and feel your arms of love around us, and that which is before us that seems so overwhelming. One step at a time, Lord, with your eyes, let us see you face to face. Jesus' name. I would like to suggest that you journal. If you don't have a journal, get one. You should be journaling at least a couple of times a week about the Spirit of Glory. And I would like to hear from at least two of you next week as a testimony of what God spoke to you about the Spirit of Glory. So go and sin no more.